Hey guys, welcome back to Unleashed. I am Brent Henderson, and remember, we are the resistance. Wow, it is so good to be back. It's been a crazy week. I had construction going on here at my house all week. First time I ever had to miss an episode, and I was working 14-hour days with stuff around the house this whole last week. After the Indy 500, the very following day, my world got kind of turned upside down, along with every room in our house, as we're doing all kinds of renovations right now that are much needed. But man, it's good to be back. You know, it's funny, every single week when I get a chance to talk to you guys, I know a lot of you out there. I'm sure there's many of you that I don't know that tune in, but I just want you to know something. I'm so glad you're here. And each week, we'll take, you know, aim at the lies that hold men back. And my goal is to equip you, to empower you, to encourage you to live boldly in your God-given purpose. And if you hear any, like, special effects going on today, that's not me. They have a lot of machine and equipment stuff going on behind my house. They're taking out sidewalks and driveways, and I had to even wait 8 hours to try to get in here to get this podcast done before the end of the day came. But anyhow, we'll just push on through it, so it's real stuff. But, you know, I believe that true strength isn't about how big we are, right? I mean, for many years, you know, I hated myself being the skinny kid, and I worked out, and I was in the martial arts, everything you can think of to try to get my man card, I guess. You know, it's not about how rough, how smart, how wealthy we are, but it really is, and something that I've learned as I've gotten older, it truly is about knowing who you are in Christ and then living out of that core of who you really are. And that's, you know, that core that I talk about, you hear me talk about it almost every single week. You know, that's the place that when a man understands that he truly has been called for a purpose, that he becomes dangerous for good. Living out of the core of who we really are is the way that life was meant to be, but the world keeps trying to knock us down, right? But if you appreciate this podcast, I hope you do. You know, be sure to like, subscribe, and share it with a brother who needs it. And that way, you'll be able to stay up to date with every time a new episode drops. So let's kind of get into the meat of this thing. So 8 days ago, I had the chance to be at the Indianapolis 500, and I think I've only missed 3 races since maybe 1985. I think that's right. And, you know, it always is a surreal moment for me. You know, growing up watching the greats like Mario Andretti. I know many of you know these names. Al Unser, Tom Sneva, you know, Danny Sullivan, Rick Mears, Ari Leyendyke, you know, a good friend of mine, Derek Daly. And his son, if you watch the race, probably the last 7-8 years, you've seen Connor Daly has been racing in the 500. He's been doing it for quite a while. And I remember I was with Derek one time. He was still doing stuff for one of the television channels in Indy, and he was going in and out of the, you know, gasoline alley in the pits and interviewing all the drivers, and I got to go with him one day. And I remember when Connor, his son, first started racing in Indy, and I was with Connor and his dad, Derek, in Gasoline Alley, watching him, you know, learn the ropes. And I'm standing in the garage. It was crazy. And here I am. I'm surrounded by, you know, legends like A.J. Foyt. A.J. is standing there, doesn't know who I am, probably figures I'm supposed to be there. And he's telling me about his knee, how it's been hurting and flying up in this private plane. And I'm standing there talking to Tony Kanaan and Dario Franchitti and Helio Castroneves. And I was in awe. I mean, these weren't just drivers. I mean, these are names you guys know. Many of them were 500 winners. You know, they're battle-tested warriors of the track. And these guys were swapping stories, you know, their car setups and strategy. They were, you know, basically kind of like, when you think about it, like seasoned generals, you know, kind of in a way. And when I was a kid, AJ, you know, he was my hero. The first little racing car, it was made out of rubber that I ever had that my dad got me, was an A.J. Foyt little model car. But the thing other than this that I love as much as racing is I really do love hunting, and many of you guys know that. They both, you know, just, man, I can't wait. And especially whitetails. And by the way, for you elk hunters, I just found out a couple days ago that I got my tag drawn for Colorado, so I'll be going back there. And you know Roger Medley, he's been on the podcast many times. This September, we'll be hitting it again. And hopefully, I won't have some of the stuff that's happened to me in the past, like going blind or getting surrounded by water in a flood. Crazy. You can go back in some of the past episodes with Roger, and you can find some of those stories. But whitetail hunting, you know, there was a man that I idolized, and I called him like my godfather when I was a kid. His name was Art Burchill. And I wanted to be, you know, a hunter like he was. You know, my dad didn't hunt much, and I've told you that before, but he was always there with me. Truly appreciate that. And as I sat at the track Sunday, watching the last of the drivers that I grew up with, they were kind of making their final runs, I thought about this new young generation of drivers. You know, me as the young hunter going to some of the seasoned hunters. In this new generation, you've got guys like, you know, Pato O'Ward, you know, Colton Herta, Alex Palou. And these guys have a rare opportunity, you know, to learn from the best. And these legends have been mentoring them. You know, they've taught them patience. They've taught them discipline. They've taught them, you know, wisdom. You know, don't rush it on the track. You know, wait for your moment. And when I was at the track the other day, I saw that difference play out right in front of me. During the parade lap, before the green flag, you know, ever waved, Scott McLaughlin spun out while warming up his tires. I mean, right in front of us. The race hadn't even started. It was the final lap before the green was going to go. And it was already over for him. I mean, when he hit the wall, it was loud. You know, he coasts past us maybe another 100 yards, crawls out of his car, you know, totally humiliated. Everyone's standing there. They just don't know what to do. I mean, it was like, you got to be kidding me. I think, was it Roberto Guerrero? I think years ago on the warm-up lap, it was really cold that day. I was there. He spun out and went into the infield, and he was out of the race. But, you know, Scott gets out of his car. He falls to his knees. He's totally devastated. I remember Stacy, she just looks at me, and she saw him because no one was going to him. And she's like, somebody go give that guy a hug. I mean, he was just totally humiliated. And it was just that one moment, probably the excitement, you know, of the 500, that some of that inexperience being a younger driver had cost him. But I was telling you a little bit ago about Gasoline Alley. And there's nothing like Gasoline Alley. You know, years ago, I stood there, I was telling you, with Derek Daly. And I was watching these new generational stories begin to happen. You know, they were passing on their wisdom to these younger drivers. And that's how legacy really is passed on. I grew up in northwestern Pennsylvania. Shout out to all my buddies back there. I used to go to three dirt tracks on the weekend. There was Mercer, Lernerville, and Tri-City. And I sometimes would go with my dad. I can still hear the roar of those sprint cars. You know, that front tire lifting off the ground as they go through the corners. And back then, you know, there were big names like Steve Kinzer and Slammin' Sammy Swindell, Brad Doty, Stan Fox. And those, you know, Saturday, Friday, Sunday nights that I had with my dad, they really bonded us. It was just something, we had those shared experiences together. And in 1995, I, for the only time I got a chance to take my dad to the 500, it was an awesome thing. I found out later that year that dad would have cancer. But it was an amazing time with Dad and I. We didn't have really good seats. We were already through turn one and almost about halfway to turn two. But for this day, it happened to be the seats you would have wanted. Stan Fox was on the opening lap, and he and Lynn St. James going through turn one, you know, all these cars piled up together, and he and Lynn St. James get into it with each other, and he crashes and he hits the wall right in front of us. And his car just shatters into pieces. But it became one of the most photographed crashes in racing history because you can see his legs, you know, the whole nose cone's gone. You can see his legs hanging out of the car as this thing just keeps on sliding down the track. You know, Dad didn't say much. He just kind of grabbed my shoulder and we watched it. You know, I can still feel him just kind of squeezing my shoulder. I don't know if you ever do that. Like, I get tense sometimes when I'm watching like UFC or boxing matches. I can feel myself tensing up. But that, I mean, you know, coming into that first turn, they're probably doing about 220 back then in 95, all bunched up together. And when he hit that wall in front of us, we just watched it keep on going. And you don't know. You have the big question mark. You know, did anyone survive that? How could they survive that? And the moment was kind of seared into both of our souls. So I think it was either 1 year or 2 years later. I think it was the following year. Stan Fox ended up having a lot of head injuries, but he survived. And, you know, I was in the infield, and it was, I think it was Carburation Day. That's always 2 days before race day. And Stan Fox had come back to make an appearance. He was no longer cleared to drive because of his head injuries, but he was signing autographs. So I buy one of his little glossies, and I said, hey, this is from my dad. My dad was with me. You hit the wall right in front of us. And again, I think you can see the lower part of our legs in the most photographed, I think, picture ever from the 500. And so my dad's name was Carl. And so he gets his Sharpie out, and he signs on the glossy to my dad, Carl, this was my one good oops. You know, it's funny. We all have those moments. I don't know if you ever sit around with your buddies and go, what's your most embarrassing moment ever? I've shared this on you before. Mine was singing in front of, we were in Kansas City and Kemper Arena, and there's like 10,000 people out in the crowd. And I'm singing in the very first line of the song. I had a partial cap on one of my front teeth, and it pops right off right in the middle of the song, and I catch it in my hand. True story. But moments like that, they kind of remind us that life isn't perfect. It's not polished. It is unpredictable. But those little failures, you know, they often become the best memories. I would give anything to go back and have one more day like that with my dad. You know, the older that I get, the more I realize how much I really did need my dad's wisdom. And I wish I could go back and ask him things that I didn't even know to ask back then. I didn't see it at the time, but just his presence, his quiet strength, you know, he always showed up. He would do anything for you. He was preparing me then for a race that I hadn't yet run. You know, and that's this race that we all are living right now. I went back and I was looking at some scripture to try to put with this podcast. And I went to 1 Corinthians 9:24. And it says, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Years ago, I was in Olympia, Greece, and that was the site of the very first Olympic Games. I think it was in 776 BC or whatever it was. And it's still, you can still go back there and you can still see, like, there's like cement blocks where the runners back there with their bare toes would set them in these grooves in the cement. And the Apostle Paul, he loved sports. And so it was really neat for me to kind of go back and see the first Olympic site and to read some of these verses like that. Because Paul, you know, those are his words. He loves sporting events. But racing isn't about, you know, who can qualify with the fastest speed. You might think it is. You look at pole day and you see all these drivers and you're thinking, well, that's pretty much how they're going to finish the race. Not even close. Very few times has the pole sitter finished strong at the 500. So it isn't about who can qualify with the fastest speed. It's about who can maintain the best speed throughout the entire race. Because those who endure, those who have the right car setup, those who get their tires right for the temperature and get the wings right and the downforce and everything they have, it's that wisdom and patience to know when to make your move. Don't get like Scott McLaughlin did early in the race. He hits the pit wall right in front of us. You know, and Paul's words remind us that life is a race with eternal significance. You don't just show up, you know, at the starting line and hope for the best. You run it like it matters because it does. So you train for the moments that no one sees so you can show up when it counts. I was talking about hunting earlier. The same thing happens with me. I don't wait until the weekend before the first day of archery comes in to get my bow out and try to get things tuned and practice. And no, I'm doing that months before ever. The elk tag that I just drew, I've already started on my cardio to get ready because I'm going to be hunting it probably between 9,000 and 10,500 feet, somewhere in that range. Well, where I'm living at here is probably only a couple thousand elevation, so I'm going to have to start training now. So you train for the moments, like I said, that no one sees so that you can show up when you really need it. So let me just kind of bring this back around a little bit. You know, I don't know what kind of race that you're running right now. Maybe it feels like, you know, you've got a blown engine, or maybe you feel like you're stuck in the pits. I mean, we saw that at the race. How many guys, Scott Dixon, you know, we thought he was going to finish strong early on in the race. He had to come in, and I think he finished three back at the end of the race. He still finished. He still got points. His engine was still running at the end of the race, and that's wisdom at right there you saw. He could have just bowed out and said, you know what, I'm done. But no, he didn't. He got back in the race, and he kept running. And I tell you what, Scott Dixon continues to finish strong. You know, the Iceman, he is someone you better be looking in your rearview mirror because he's going to be there. He's patient. He's wise. He's done this many times before. And see, here's the thing. God is not done with your story. You were not made to sit in the stands. You were made to run. So what is it that's holding you back? You know, is it other people's opinions? Is it the way that you perform? You feel like you're not good enough? You know, what is it that's keeping you from moving into that thing that God has just for you? He created you to be a warrior. But the enemy wants you to feel like, no, you're just a mechanic. You never get to be out there in the race. You never get to be out there in the game. You're the water boy, right? No, God made you to run your race for this time, this place, in this lifetime. He prepared you before the very foundations of the earth. He knows the plans that He has for you. And I want to invite you, no matter what's going on in your life right now, to remember that you are unique. And to start drawing wisdom from those who have gone before you, where you need to be strengthened, where you need to be encouraged, where you need to be empowered. That's why I come back here every single week and do this podcast. Because you matter. I mattered to someone when I hit my bottom. When I was literally stepping out of the race in my life because I was so embarrassed because of my own stuff. A man sat me down, told me who I really was. Not my sin, not what everybody else thinks about me, that I am God's beloved, that I am His mighty warrior. I'll never forget, my buddy Glenn and I, we had gone to a Wild at Heart retreat. We had been to Colorado. We went three times. We went to two Wild at Heart basic camps and then an advanced platoon leader training. And I remember John Eldridge, who had written the book Wild at Heart, he was saying to us, you know, what is that name that God has for you? How does He see? You know, He even says in Revelation that He has that special name for you. And I was really trying to say, God, I'm about ready to step out of this race. I was humiliated by some stuff in my life, embarrassed. I said, do I really matter to you? And do I matter to even being here, to other people? And I felt God speak to me. As I had this one book I had opened, that God said to me, you're going to be my warrior poet. You're going to use your words to change lives. And I'm like, God, is this really you? And I flipped the page. And the very next sentence at the top of that page said, warrior poet. I showed my buddy Glenn and I went, okay, this is giving me goosebumps. But you are God's warrior. What is it that He's created you to do? Where is He has created you to go? Do that and you will find fulfillment. That purpose that He made you to do will bring you to life and you will finish that race. It doesn't matter whether you, this is God's world, His kingdom. You don't have to finish first, but you get to learn how to walk in humility. Does that encourage others? You better believe it does. I'll never forget in my own hitting bottom moments, I had someone come over to me and they told me theirs didn't hold anything back. And in my head at first, I was like, man, mine wasn't anything like that. Well, he shared it with me for a reason. He was painfully honest so he could get it all out there to let me know I wasn't alone. I was thinking just now, it went through my head, I don't know why, but when Danny Sullivan in 1985 in the Indy 500, you know, here he is, he's leading the race and he spins in the middle of the track. You got to be thinking, this is the end of the race for me. Somehow he gets control and he gets back in the race and he ends up winning the 500. For me, that's probably the most vivid memory I have. Who's someone who had thought they had spun out, thought the race was over for them. They grab a hold of the wheel and they say, let's go. Where do you need to be doing that in your life right now? I want to encourage you that with Christ in you, that one I was talking about, that at your core, that's when you live from that place, there's nothing you can't do that God has prepared for you. If He is ahead of you and He is behind you, nothing can touch you. You know, just like those legendary Indy drivers who are now serving as team owners, you know, they're guiding, equipping, they're empowering the next generation. I want to come alongside you and I want you to come alongside other men to help them become exactly who God created them to be, to run the race and to finish well. That's why I'm on here. That's why today, with everything, you can probably hear the construction. I can hear it out my window right now. My wife said to me, don't let that set you back. Get up there, get this thing done, and get it out to the guys who need to hear it. We all need that in our lives. I am so thankful for her wisdom and guidance to me. Anyhow, guys, I want to I'll pray here in just a second, but I want to say if there's somebody you know of that could really use that bump, they need to be encouraged to get back in the race, that the race isn't over, that they can finish well. Does it take time sometimes to get back into the race? Yeah, sure it does. Sometimes we get put in the pits and that's where we get healed. That's where we need to be worked on. I know I've had that in my life. There's times when I needed to have people work with me to get my thoughts, emotions, and actions back on track so that I could be healthy, so that I can go out and make a difference. Do that for others. And I want to ask you, as I kind of wrap up, I want to ask you to consider praying for this ministry, because I really do feel the weight of this. And then next podcast, I'm going to be talking about the weight of a crown. You know, God has crowned us with His glory. We see all these things that He's called us to do, right? But there's a weight to it. And I'm talking about W-E-I-G, I can't even spell now, W-E-I-G-H-T. There's a weight to the crown that we carry, but it's God's, and we have to learn how to be led by Him and allow Him to carry us. So I just want to ask you if you would be praying for this ministry in every way, shape, and form you can think of. We want to reach as many men as possible. Would you begin to pray for speaking events so that I can go out and do the things that God made me to do, that I can reach people with the message and encourage them and see new men come to Christ? I've seen over 20 men or 20,000 men. Yeah, 20. And wow, what a difference. That was probably about 2007. I'd only seen 20 men maybe come to Christ in my entire life. And since then, with this message of identity in Christ and using the door of adventure, I've seen over 20,000 men come to Christ. So pray for that. Pray for those speaking events, for men's retreats, all these things that they would begin to light a fire under these guys that are out there in their churches saying, we need to get this together and get our men together. We want to be strong. And guys, if you feel led, you make it happen. Go to your pastors, go to your other men and say, we want to do something like this. Let's get this fire going. So if you want to go to unleash.men, you'll see you can get more information on there about me or about how to come. My phone number, everything, you email, everything you're going to need is going to be on there. And let's get this thing rolling. Also, if you want to come alongside, we really could use your financial support. You can go to the About tab and you'll see donate underneath that. It'll go through a 501c3 with World Renewal because we are missionaries with them. And you'll be able to pull that down. And even if it's just $10 a month, you know, it does make a difference. It does help us finish this race and keep running it as strong as we can possibly do it. And also, you know, always be sure to give us a like, subscribe to keep up with all the new episodes of Unleashed. You can sign up for Unleashed Plus. That's where you can access a ton of great content. I've got on there like some of my music. Into the Wild's audiobook on there is free. My Hunt for a Man's Heart audiobook was on there. That's free. It's $1.99 a month. So when I say that, it's usually $20. You know, there's conversations I have with some of the greatest whitetail hunters of our time, Charlie Alzheimer, Bill Winky. There's just a lot of great hunters on there. Don Higgins, we've had him on here before. You know Don. But your gift, it does help us disciple men to keep moving forward, to see families restored, to see generations changed. I always say changed men change men. You know, I was downstairs painting. We had, like I said, a lot of construction things happening in the house this week. We were getting some new flooring put in and painting walls. And I asked one of the painters to come back today. There's some stuff, some touch-ups that I wanted to get done. And one other thing I wanted him to help me with. We got into a great conversation. I wasn't even planning on going here, but the Holy Spirit, I don't know why He just moved this, but both of us have felt the pain of divorce, something that neither one of us ever wanted in our lives. And isn't it funny how sometimes shared pain can stir up almost a friendship instantly between you? And we begin to talk about the pain of divorce because none of us wanted to leave that kind of a legacy with what's behind us, right? We want to be like, we made it to the peak. Well, what is the peak? You know, the journey is the destination. The enemy wants to knock you down. And like that painter today that I had a chance to speak into his life and encourage him, because he says, you know, I've stopped going to church because I was so afraid of what people would think about me. Yeah, I get it. Don't worry what anybody thinks about you anymore, because the only one whose opinion matters is God's, period. Wow. Just let that sink in for a second. But I want to encourage you, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. If you have Christ in you, there's nothing you can't do with Him behind it, because you have everything you will ever need. You are 100% complete in Jesus Christ. Father God, thank you so much for this time together. And as I hear the construction going on out my window, I'm thinking about the construction that's happening spiritually and emotionally with men right now as they're listening to this, who have felt beaten down, who don't feel like they're good enough. They're worried about what everybody else is thinking about them. Help them to understand that the only one whose opinion matters is yours. And you have cast our sin as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought back up or remembered ever again. Grace. Grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your gift. Amen. Guys, I'll just finish out today like I do so many days, because I want you to walk in this. That when a man knows who he is in Christ, that he's been created in the image of the living God, when he is no longer held captive by the opinions of others or cares whether he lives or dies, that man is now extremely dangerous, dangerous for good, because he's been unleashed. We'll see you next time.